midfield, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
From the front office,
we'll never be totally satisfied till we win the championship.
Now, we have a lot of young players on this team and new coaching staff. I think we're happy about it.
To the coach's office.
I'm enjoying the interaction with the coaches. I'm enjoying working with the players. I enjoy the process.
From the Browns of the present.
I'm thrilled to be where I'm at each and every day to play quarterback here.
I am a threat. I'm on the football field. I can possibly get that football. And when I get the football, you better strap your helmet on tight. You know, make sure all your chin straps buckled up because it'll take you for a ride.
To the Browns of the past.
Bernie Kosar joining us.
Brian Seip.
Jerry Shirk.
Clay Matthews.
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nice and pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
Now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
So happy to have you joining us on this Thanksgiving week Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. A football Tuesday. Going to talk with the Browns receivers coach on this show tonight, Mike Wilson, former veteran receiver in the National Football League, played for the 49ers, and does a really wonderful job of coaching up these wideouts for the Browns, this young crew that includes Greg Little. And you saw the game that these players had in conjunction with Colt McCoy's game that looked like he showed some progress, certainly as a passer, but you don't just do that on your own. You have to have some people catching the ball. And there were guys who made some nice catches. Incredible catch for the touchdown, of course, by Josh Cribbs in that Jacksonville game. And a nice 51-yard catch by Jordan Norwood. And we saw what Greg Little did. We're going to have Mike Wilson break down what this group is doing. And Mike Wilson does that very, very well in detail. Ernie Kellerman, do you remember that name? Former defensive back for the Browns. It's alumni spotlight day. That's what we do on Tuesday. So we'll check in with Ernie, hear what he's been up to, and basically what his career was all about for the Browns. And he also spent one season with the Bengals. So we thought, appropriately enough, on Bengal week, have a former Brown / Bengal on this show. Matt Florjancic, our staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, breaks down the numbers with us. Some really nice information from him that gives you a detailed look at what's ahead for this Browns team as they head into Sunday's game against the Cincinnati Bengals. What to expect from Cincinnati, how the Browns sort of stack up statistically. He does a really good job with that. We bring him in on Tuesdays for that as well. We ask a poll question each day. It's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. And this poll question for this Tuesday is, how would you rate the offensive line's performance against the Jaguars, the Browns' O-line, and on a letter grade scale, A, B, C, D, or F? So a lot of you are voting on that one. We'll give you the results at the end of the show. I thought the line definitely played arguably its best game, in, if not the best of the season. I don't know if I'd go say best of season, but certainly the best in a while. And I don't even remember a lot of things that happened before the three-game losing streak. It's been that kind of year. So to see that happen, to see a game where this line played well. So in my grade, I don't know if it's an A. I want to see, I guess, more points and more statistical dominance. But I can't see it being much less than a B. It's definitely better than a C. I'm going to put it in that B plus range. That's my take. But we'll give your result, your answer to that collectively at the end of the show. We answer questions from our official Facebook and Twitter pages. Got a lot of Twitter questions today. Jake, whose handle is at Jake Darlin, asks, has Colt McCoy exceeded the hopes of the franchise up to this point? I wouldn't say exceeded. I think as a starter, Jake, he's where they need him to be to perform at a level that convinces this team that he should be starting right now. Now, he's starting and also being evaluated simultaneously with that. And that's why the answer of whether he's exceeding hopes, I would say that's probably not the case. But the question becomes, does he meet the expectation of a guy who was drafted to be the starter? And in this first full season as the starter, you know, this is his chance, as we know, to claim that, to lock that down. And I would say through 10 games, and especially these last two, we're seeing some progress.
But I wouldn't call it exceeding. I think he's doing good things and making a strong case for himself. I write about the progress that he's made on ClevelandBrowns.com in a column that's posted now. Please check that out. And Marcus at MarkMark330, what is going to be, this is via Twitter, what is going to be done in the offseason to ensure that next season's games will be improved from this season? Well, I would say to you that ensure it. No one gives you guarantees in this life or this business. But I think drafting-wise, some free agent signings, a lot of attention to the offensive side of the ball, or more attention to it than we've seen the last two. I think defensively, foundationally, that's been a success. Now some work, more work on the offensive side. Okay, in a couple of minutes, we are going to have a conversation with the Browns wide receivers coach. As you listen to little Joe Walsh here, Mike Wilson, he's going to join us on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12, EA Sports. It's in the game. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here, talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Did you know that Liberty has been part of the local community for over 30 years and has five locations throughout Northeast Ohio that are close, convenient, and easy to find? With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, guaranteed financing, and award-winning service departments in all locations, the Liberty experience is impossible to beat. Go to Liberty Ford today or visit libertyford.com.
Calling all Browns fans, you're only a road trip away from America's premier sports museum and showplace. No season is complete without a trip to the mecca of all that is football, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Celebrate pro football's history, the legends that have played the game, and the NFL's most recent stars and record-breaking moments. Plus, save money with your Cleveland Browns game ticket. Show your ticket at the box office window and save on admission. For details, visit profootballhof.com.
Hey, Browns fans, Bernie Kosar here. As a former NFL quarterback, I know what it's like to get hit hard. But you can keep your wallet from getting hit hard when you take advantage of Discount Drug Mart's $1.99 generic prescription program. Discount Drug Mart offers hundreds of prescriptions and non-prescription medications starting at just $1.99. Just like my offensive line protected me, Discount Drug Mart will protect your wallet. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. Alarm Force has the best value for all of your home security needs. Only Alarm Force has no charge live two-way voice with every alarm system. Installation, activation, and warranty are also no charge and only $25 a month for monitoring. Call Alarm Force today.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force.
Ohio's best choice for home security.
Hey, Cleveland, it's time for another haircut. Check out Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Cuyahoga Falls. Open 7 days a week, even Sundays. On the corner of Howe Avenue and Buckholzer Boulevard in Cuyahoga Falls, Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
HGR Industrial Surplus, the largest used industrial surplus showroom in the galaxy with the largest year-end clearance ever for walk-in customers only. Some items 50% off. Visit HGRINC.com. or stop in just off the East Shoreway. HGR Industrial Surplus.
Doug Deacon here for Infinity of Bedford. Located in the heart of Bedford's Auto Mile, Infinity of Bedford is the number one Infinity store in Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, and Indiana for the last 4 years. They have the largest selection of Infinities and have more service technicians than anyone else to take care of your Infinity. They have pickup service at your home or office and a fleet of loan vehicles to use while you have your Infinity service. To find your next Infinity or for service, visit Infinity of Bedford.com. Infinity of Bedford, a Penske Automotive dealership.
Hi, this is Mike Adams. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we do welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily as Pops, veteran safety, just told you. It's driven by Liberty Ford. And guess what? This segment is also driven by Liberty Ford. Pleased to be joined right now by Browns wide receivers coach Mike Wilson. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here again.
All right. Yes, it's been a little bit since we last talked, but a lot of progress, obviously, since I know our last discussion in training camp with regard to, and I want to start with Greg Little, as a young man, how he's progressed, and seemingly each week looks like he takes significant steps.
Yeah, he's, a lot of people don't realize, and I guess they do. I mean, he really only played really one solid year of college football, and he was a running back coming out of high school. And so this guy is really learning the position on the go. We've asked him to learn all the positions in training camp, which was difficult initially, but now we've settled him in as a split end X receiver, and he also moves inside on us for our three receiver, four receiver set. But he is he's developed. He's coming along great. He's still have a long way to go, but that's the process. I mean, and I always revert back to, I had Larry Fitzgerald in Arizona when he came in as a rookie, and it took him time. I played alongside Jerry Rice when he came in as a rookie. His first year struggled a little bit. So on that curve, Greg is, maybe a little bit ahead of both those guys, but, it was a long way to go. The kid is, almost 230. He's down maybe 220-something now, but big, strong physical receiver who has demonstrated the ability to run after the catch, to catch it in traffic, and still be able to bounce off linebackers and safeties that are, tenacious hitters in this league. So, we're happy where he is, but, still want, there's so much more to accomplish.
Well, what's the greatest challenge for a rookie ride out? I know it's not one thing, but what's number one on the list that
like this past game? He had a drop early in the game, and he was really frustrated and kind of talking to himself, and I just came over and wanted to calm him down and said, hey, relax, forget about that play, move on to the next one. The next time the ball comes, you make a play with it. And he was caught up in a, that was his play. But in this business, you got to be short-minded and move on to the next play. And he did much better. I think the rest of the balls he caught and had a good productive day for us.
Coach, is there anything that's too, I don't want to say too big for him, but too much for him with regard to how much you actually let him handle with this offense? Because there's a lot in this offense, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of pieces to it. Do you limit how much you
give him? If you talk with Coach Shermer, hasn't even opened up his playbook. He's really kept it, in a lot of ways simple for the reason that we have young players. I mean, outside of Josh Cribbs being in the seventh year and the third oldest guy on the team, we have a lot of young players. And in a lot of ways, we're bringing along a little bit slower. Colt is really first year in the system. And so you have to, don't overwhelm them. Don't put too much in. But at the same time, you have got to have enough in the game plan to keep a defense honest and they don't shut you down. So as far as Greg Little, he's been, we've asked him to do a lot. And he's only going to get better. I would say he's probably at, 70-75% of his ability right now and potential understanding it. So there's a major upside. And along with the other receivers, I think, we're looking forward to better days every game.
And this progress can be made in season. I mean, in other words, you're not in teaching mode in the regular season for the most part. I know you teach every day as a coach, but truth is, you don't teach the way you're teaching, say, in off-season or training camp. So
unfortunately, this year, no OTAs, no mini camps. I mean, we jumped in, 2 feet and just started going. And with players who were just drafted or signed, had not even, I met Greg on his official visit here, but never saw him until the first day of training camp. So usually, if you go backwards, historically, players move into the town. He's here every day. We'll watch film. We'll go over the playbook. There's a lot more to go into where we're at now. But based on, it was supposedly a level playing field, even though the three teams in our division had their coaches in place, they know their system. It was challenging, but we're doing the best we can.
So you do some teaching, but for the most part, it's game specific. It's game plan specific, right? You're not in a mode where there's fundamental work. He's throwing. He's got to play.
Yeah, well, he's playing. I mean, we have 20 minutes in practice of individual. We work on specific things receiver specific. But no, I mean, it's really is on end training. And Greg is an excellent receiver. Normally, you bring a rookie in, and sometimes you can bring him along slow. Sometimes you can have him be a backup. Well, he quickly demonstrated that he was a very good receiver and could handle the workload and. has probably averaged, you know, 90% of our plays in regular season.
How about the chemistry between Greg and Colt McCoy? How do you see that being established?
You know, it's still a work in progress. It's developing. I think, you know, they're on the same page. We try to practice things over and over again. We stay out after practice and run some routes. We'll run individual routes. So for both of them learning a new system, you know, there's good chemistry, and I think they will just continue to get better every day.
Browns coach Mike Wilson joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. As we look to the rest of this receiving core, we brought up Josh Cribbs. And really, for him, this is somewhat new to the extent that he is a bigger factor, it seems, in the receiving game. He's been pretty prominent in there for various reasons, maybe injury being part of it early on, but he's certainly a bigger factor. Talk about his role and how that's evolved this season.
Well, you know, I when I took the job and came in, and my first conversation with Josh, I said, "Man, you've accomplished quite a bit as a return guy on special teams." I said, "I would like for you to, you know, focus in and commit yourself to be the best receiver you can be. If that means the possibility of being a Pro Bowl player, you know, you set the bar high. But still, I want you to be able to go out and line up and do some things. And there's discipline involved. And so it's been, he's embraced it. He's worked hard. He's got 4 touchdowns this year. And, you know, he's made plays. He's a playmaker. And that's the part that's intangible that sometimes you can't coach. And Josh, historically, throughout his, you know, Cleveland Brown career, is always, when the ball's in his hand, you never know what's going to happen. And he has the ability to take it to the house and score a touchdown.
As best you can explain it, as you said, sometimes things are just are what they are because of the intangibles. But I look at this guy, and it always seems like the same kind of play when he's scoring a touchdown, like we just saw against Jacksonville, where, you know, he's getting those feet in just where they have to be. He's making that catch the only place he could make the catch away from the defender. And this is, it's not a coincidence that this is happening. So if you can, talking through it from a technical standpoint, why Josh is able to do this consistently.
Josh is an athlete, a football player that, you know, you want to get the ball in his hands because you never know, you know, he's going to be productive. He's going to get yards. I mean, we've had plays this year, and this is my first year working with Josh, where he's caught a ball and you think he's going to get 1 yard or two, and he ends up getting 9 or 16. And that just doesn't come naturally. He really is gifted and special in the ability to make people miss and run after the catch. And so you really want to try to take advantage of that and get the ball in his hands as much as you can. Now, you know, he, you know, route-wise and all those things, you know, he's worked on, he's gotten better. I mean, you know, Josh is, you know, really, even though he's the seventh year, he's really decided, I think he's always wanted to be, but he really wants to be a talented receiver and be a mainstay receiver where he can just line up. And we had him in multiple formations, and he's out there quite a bit. And is a devastating blocker. I mean, you watch him, there's some intangible things he does out there with his blocking. He plays physical. He's not scared. The game's not too big for him. And I think that's his biggest asset. But I always thought Josh was a 6'5", 230-pound receiver. And, I've been in a league and watch him on TV, and he almost, when he's got the ball in his hands and he's running, I mean, he looks like he's raises off the ground for us. But you see Josh is 6 foot, 6'1", you know, 213, 215. He plays a lot bigger than
plays big
stature, and he's you know, he's a football player. I mean, you just give him the ball and he's going to play. He's not scared. He'll take on a lineman. He'll take on a linebacker. He'll make a guy miss. So, I mean, he's a true football player who is always special when he's got the ball in his hands.
And he's making progress, as you say, the route running, those areas, those are things that are still in early stages of his career, despite the fact that he's been in the league.
That's not something
he's done all his career.
Every day, you know, we're out there and we'll do individuals, and I'm working on, you know, just being, if the route's at 12, be at 12. If the route's at 8, be at 8. And, you know, and that's amongst all the receivers. But, you know, he's really focusing in on being at the exact spot that Colt will know where he is and he can get the ball to him.
Jordan Norwood had a real nice breakout kind of game, I thought, this past game, and he was involved quite a bit and had that very nice connection, certainly for 51 yards. But it wasn't like he only had the one catch, but in fact, it looked like a guy who, even by his presence, was influencing things from the Jaguars' defense in your fourth. Talk about his role.
You know, I really think, you know, he's you know, unfortunately, you know, gets labeled as a small receiver, but, you know, size doesn't determine a player's heart and their ability. I think he's one player who has the probably the most gifted guy in the ability to shake a DB. He can sink his hips. He's quick. He's elusive. And you saw that all those in that one catch. He's smart. He read that there was a blitz. and he broke inside instead of staying outside. It was an option route he was running, so he could go either way, and he saw it all, caught it, got upfield, and there was a free safety coming right at him, and he did what Jordan is really capable of doing, making guys miss. He's a punt returner also, but he broke the free safety down and was off to the races for 51 yards, and we need more plays like that. That was really perfect timing for it, and he's got a role on this team, and I look forward to seeing him get more balls in the game.
How difficult has it been for Muhammad Massaqua to be, you know, in and out, dealing with the concussions and so forth? Give me a sense of transitioning him back into the lineup.
Well, you know, first of all, I think this past week, you know, all the receivers contributed. They all had a role, and that's good. I think that's very positive. Muhammad's working his way back in. Got a little winded early, but, you know, he's been off 2 weeks and was off 2 weeks before that with the concussion. You want to side on the with caution and be very safe with it. But he's excited to be back. He was he looked fast as ever on the tape, even though we didn't throw some deep balls to him. He was open. But, you know, I'm excited about him only getting better. He was the guy who didn't do much in training camp due to the foot. So now he's been set back with a few concussions. So he's got a good upside. And I hope that, you know, it all clicks and he's healthy before the season comes to an end.
Bengals play some pretty good defense, this team you faced this week. Mike Zimmer's defense has been strong, but they've been hit hard in their secondary. They lost Jonathan Joseph in free agency, Leon Hall out for the year with the Achilles. Do you see, how different a team do you see from that one you faced in the opener?
Well, you know, it's obviously some of the players are not there, but, you know, they're a good defense. I mean, they bring pressure. They've got a great, excellent front line, defensive line. But, you know, we have to, we're weak better. Our players are getting better. We're understanding the system. And so we're excited about the challenge of, you know, we played them once, their division opponent. And I think our receivers are excited about playing them and going out and making plays. But secondary-wise, we match up well with them. And so we'll just see what happens Sunday. But I'm excited that everybody's getting involved, and I think that'll be the case this Sunday also.
Coach, outstanding stuff, and I thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
Coach Mike Wilson, he coaches the receivers for the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
The Black Friday rush and get huge savings at Liberty Ford. Liberty has thousands of vehicles on sale now. For only $179 a month, you can drive off a new Ranger, Escape, or Fusion. That's right, only $179 a month on three of Liberty's best sellers. With more vehicles in stock than ever before, beat the Black Friday rush and save at Liberty Ford. Guaranteed financing and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty is in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick,
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop in your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive dog pound bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature dog pound bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your dog pound buckets at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns.
Looking for more than a song on your birthday? How about a whole concert? Get a free ticket to the Cleveland House of Blues during your birthday month when you join the First Merit Birthday Club. Be one of the first 15,000, and you'll get a $25 voucher toward dinner, too. Just visit firstmerit.com/birthday for complete details. So log on and rock on with the First Merit Birthday Club. First Merit Bank. And you first. You must be a First Merit customer with online banking to join. Full terms apply. See firstmerit.com/birthday for complete details. Member FDIC.
I am at a BMW pre-owned certification bay to witness everything a BMW goes through to be certified. Look at these high-tech diagnostics. Do I need a degree to stand here? Once certified, a CPO BMW carries an up to 6-year, 100,000-mile protection plan, a benchmark in the industry, and even better than some new cars. The mileage is... Really? Let me rephrase. Low. Every new BMW is cared for by BMW, so it's in pristine shape as a CPO. Hey, buddy, I'm going to need to see some paperwork. This looks new. That is the sound of legendary performance, because a CPO BMW is first an ultimate driving machine. test drive one at a BMW center today. Hey, I get to keep this one, right?
For a limited time, enjoy financing as low as 0% for up to 24 months on most certified pre-owned BMWs. Visit NortheastOhioBMW.com/CPO for details. It's a two-hour X-Factor event on a special night. And as the final nine contestants battle it out for the top spot, so will their mentors. Be there for a special Tuesday X-Factor, tonight at 8 on Fox. Get cash at Getco, where their ATMs are now surcharge-free. That's right. Now you can withdraw cash at Getco ATMs without paying surcharge fees. Get in, get out with surcharge-free ATMs at Getco. Certain restrictions apply. Your bank may charge a fee for transactions.
And we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and this Alumni Spotlight is brought to you by Madden NFL 12. It's in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Tuesday, Alumni Spotlight Day here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And joining us right now is Ernie Kellerman, former Brown and a former Bengal, appropriately enough, with Sunday's game coming up against Cincinnati. Ernie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Vic. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Former strong safety for the most part during your career. And this, to me, is the classic feel-good hometown story. Guy grows up in Maple Heights, Ohio, goes to St. Peter Chanel High School, plays for the Firebirds, their first graduating class, 1961, goes on to Miami of Ohio, and ends up playing for Art Modell's Browns. That's just sensational.
Well, it was quite a memorable run for me, and when I think back on it every now and then, I really feel blessed that I was able to play 9 years, actually, in the NFL, and playing with and against and for some of the more memorable names, in my estimation, in the NFL of all time.
And so when we go back to that career, because you would take, as a football player, any place in the NFL and say you played in the NFL. It didn't have to be here. Obviously, this was a bonus. And originally, initially, you thought your career was at least the beginning part of it, and maybe a good portion of it would be with the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, they drafted me out of Miami of Ohio, and I went down to the very last cut, and that's when Tom Landry was the head man down there. And
that's 1965 they drafted
you. That was 1965. Okay. So immediately after that, I was pretty down in the dumps. I called Bo Schembechler, who was my college coach at that time from Miami of Ohio, and Bo suggested that he would put a call in on my behalf to Blanton Collier, who was the coach of the Browns. And
right.
Through that bit of networking, that allowed me the opportunity to come back to Cleveland. I spent the initial year playing on the Browns cab squad, learning the system and helping the coaches grade film, stuff like that. And then the very next year in 66, I made the team, and third game into that 66 season, I became the starting strong safety and played the next 6 years with the Browns.
Explain the cab squad system for those of our listeners who they're familiar with the term practice squad now, but cab squad had a little bit of a different meaning, I guess, at the time, but just break that down.
Well, my understanding was that, you played, you practiced every day with the team, and if somebody at the position you were playing would have an injury, whatever, they could activate. They could have activated me as a defensive back. So there were maybe five or six of us who were on the cab squad at that time, and I don't know, I don't remember if any of them got activated, but we were learning the system, helping the coaches to grade films, and that really, I think, enabled me to make the team in 66 by virtue of learning the defensive calls and where the defensive line was going, where the linebackers were going, and allowing my position as a defensive back to be that much more improved. And I really think that went a long way in me making the team in 66.
And I like that part about the involvement in helping grade film. I mean, now coaching staffs in the NFL are just so large that they carry so many different people who have so many different roles, including a lot of the minutia, a lot of those detail roles of film grading and quality assurance and so on and so forth. Back in the day, much smaller coaching staff.
Right.
So a player that was getting paid to at least be in this development area had to do more things, and one of them was act almost as if you were a part of the coaching staff, too.
Yeah, it was very beneficial for me, as I just mentioned, and I would chart all the line charges, the defensive backfield things during the game, and then when the coaches would watch the film, I'd read off every play as it evolved, and then I'd hear the coaches' comments about this guy being out of position and where the linebacker should have been on this particular type of pass coverage. So it really was a big help, I think, when I tried out for the team in 66 and wound up making the team and then was pressed into action, as I mentioned, the third game into that season and just stayed on as a regular for the next six seasons.
And 17 interceptions in that career during the course of that time, very productive. You made the Pro Bowl in 1968. That was when you had six interceptions, that your highest total for a season. Give me a sense, because it does sound like, and it's true with the safety position, it's about awareness and smarts and anticipation and instincts. You sounded like a guy who incorporated a lot of that cerebral part of your game into making those plays.
Well, that was heaped on, I think, all the players at the time by Blanton Collier, who really was a major proponent of preparation, preparation, preparation. And I always found that the more films I studied and the individual guy I was covering that week, because I was covering the tight ends at that time, guys like John Mackey, Jackie Smith, Jerry Smith, three that come quickly to mind.
Wow.
Two out of those three are in the Hall of Fame, obviously.
Yeah.
So I really had to intensely prepare, because those guys were a lot of times featured. They were featured receivers in the offensive format, and the better I was able to figure out what they were doing and how they ran the patterns, and again, incorporating where the linebacker help I was getting, this really assisted me greatly into covering these guys. And I usually had, I think, arguably some of my better games playing against these better offensive ends in the league at that time.
You would raise the level of your game for them.
Well, I would try, and
subconsciously,
always try to do your best out there. And whether I was just lucky against those guys, I don't know. But I think a good deal of it came into the preparation that was so highly stressed, and what led to, I think, a lot of the results and victories we had back in that era from 66 to 71, 72.
Former Browns safety Ernie Kellerman joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, our weekly alumni spotlight guest. And Ernie, this is a neat little tidbit here, that you wore jersey number 24 through your NFL career. Jim Tressel wore that same 24 because you were his favorite player. I think that's kind of a neat...
I've met Jim Tressel. I'd never heard that story, but yeah. I feel honored that he would say something like that.
Yeah.
I remember wearing Warren Lahr's old jersey, number 24. Bobby Franklin had 24 before I came here. And actually, Warren Lahr worked for the same guy that brought me into business after my playing days, a fellow named Milt Lack. So was a co-worker with Warren Lahr. I don't know if you remember Warren Lahr. He was back in the 50 era, but I met Warren, who has passed away at a young age of 45. But Milt Lack was not going to hire me because Warren Lahr had tragically died at age 45, and that's about the time I was interviewing for this position with the company I later worked for 25, 30 years.
You touched on Bo Schembechler earlier, and of course you played for Bo at Miami of Ohio, and a real interesting footnote from this. So you were a quarterback. You were a three-time All-Mid-American Conference quarterback there from 62 to 64, the first quarterback ever to play for Bo Schembechler at the collegiate level. That's quite a milestone, and an honor to see that. Take us back to that time, and you know, take us back to the fact that as a quarterback, it seems to me, you benefited quite a bit as a defensive back, that natural conversion, right? I mean, that would be one thing to help your pro career.
Well, I think that may have assisted in becoming maybe a little better than average defensive back, but when I came into the league, I had no defensive backfield experience, and when the Cowboys drafted me, it was primarily as a defensive back. Back in that era, they were drafting quarterbacks who had some athleticism and converting them into defensive back. Brig Owens, who you might remember that
name. Oh, yeah.
He was a former teammate of mine with the Cowboys. Yeah. Brig Owens was cut by the Cowboys right before I got cut by the Cowboys.
Played for the Redskins.
Later played for the Redskins and had a 13, 14-year career. But back in that era, they were doing that. So long story short, I had to make the team with the Cowboys and then later with the Browns as a defensive back. And unfortunately, at that time, the Cowboys had guys like Mel Renfro and Warren Livingston and Cornell Green, who was a basketball player in college. So they had a plethora of defensive backs. And although I didn't make it with the Cowboys, I think I learned a great deal about technique and how to play the position under Tom Landry and the coaches that I played for before I came with Cleveland.
Now, Bo, the legend of Bo Schembechler, which, of course, everyone knows. If you know anything about him, you know him as the Michigan coach. And for the fans of that era, it was the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, Bo Schembechler, Woody Hayes. So you caught this before that. But the Bo Schembechler that you played for and then later knew about as this legendary figure at Michigan, give me a sense of what he was about.
I was in summer school one summer down at Miami of Ohio, and that's about the time Bo got announced as the new coach at Miami. He came down. He found out that I was the incumbent quarterback coming back, so he politely asked me, or maybe more told me, that I was going to live with him when he came on campus. So having said that, I lived with Bo for 8 weeks. And so I got to know Bo, he got to know me, and that began a relationship that continued long after I left Miami. In fact, when I was cut by the Cowboys, I called Bo. Bo put a call in on my behalf to Blanton Collier, the coach of the Browns then, and through that bit of networking, that's what allowed me the opportunity to come back to Cleveland and eventually play for the hometown.
What would you say the lasting lesson you got from your collegiate career with him?
Well, Bo was quite an inspirational guy. He was a fiery orator, and he just was, a guy that firmly believed in preparation, mental preparation for the game. And so I think I took a lot of what Bo infused in me and projected that with my time with the Cowboys and then with the Browns, because I don't know what he said to Blanton Collier, but I think a day after I got cut by the Cowboys, I got a call from Blanton personally advising me that if I wanted to come for a tryout with the Browns, that it was open to me. And he had talked to Bo, and Bo spoke very highly of me. So I really owe a lot of my coming back to Cleveland to Bo Schembechler.
Best Browns memory?
I guess I played in a couple memorable games against the Dallas Cowboys, and I think it was 68 and 69. They were heavily favored to win, and this was for the Eastern Division Conference Championship. I played in both of those games and made some plays that were maybe a little bit instrumental and having the Browns victorious on those 2 games, but that kind of gave me the last lap on the Cowboys. And I played in the Pro Bowl 1 year when the Cowboys coaching staff were the coaches for the Pro Bowl.
Right.
So that reunited me with all the Cowboy coaches, which was kind of, again, getting the last lap on the Cowboys for cutting me.
And Paul Brown brings you to Cincinnati with him in 72 for the one season there, and then you finish your career in Buffalo in 73.
More memories, I guess, for me, because I grew up as a kid watching Paul Brown coach teams in the 50s, early 60s era, and then I get to play for this living legend, which he was at that time. He was still the head coach of the Bengals, and I had some personal one-on-one conversations with Paul Brown during that time, and so that kind of adds, I guess I should start with writing, putting my memoirs into a book or something, because I played, as I mentioned, with and against and for some of the more memorable names in the NFL back in that era.
Big time folks. Ernie, we appreciate your time. This is wonderful stuff, man.
Thanks for having me, Vic, and all the best for it.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving also to you and your family.
Thank you very much, Vic.
Ernie Kellerman joining us here, former Browns defensive back, a strong safety for most of his career on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.
Time keeps on slipping.
Beat the blood.
Black Friday rush and get huge savings at Liberty Ford. Liberty has a large selection of pre-owned vehicles on sale now. Visit LibertyFord.com to view hundreds of pre-owned vehicles with special internet pricing, all makes and models. Rates as low as 1.9% and guaranteed financing. With more vehicles in stock than ever before, beat the Black Friday rush and save at Liberty Ford. Guaranteed financing and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick.
Quaker Steak and Lube is the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Stop into your local lube on any game day to get the exclusive dog pound bucket of wings. And guess what? You get to keep the signature dog pound bucket. Don't worry, it's plastic, so you can clean off the lube wing sauce easily. Enjoy your dog pound buckets at the lube or swing through the pickup wingo window and take it home for your party. Quaker Steak and Lube is proud to be the official chicken wing of the Cleveland Browns. Madden NFL 12 delivers an authentic NFL experience with an all-new collision system, team-specific runners, and real-life broadcast with all-new dynamic player performance. Players' traits rise and fall based on their performance throughout the game. Madden NFL 12, true to the game. EA Sports Madden NFL 12 is available now. Want to learn more? Go to ea.com/MaddenNFL.
This may be your last chance to buy tires for $10. NTB's tire sale held over. Buy one tire, get the second for just $10. No limit.
Hard to believe, isn't it, folks, that you can actually buy name brand tires for $10. Well, it's true. Right now at NTB, for every select Yokohama, Cooper, or Pirelli tire you buy at NTB's low price, you get another for just $10.
$10. There is no limit to the number of tires you can buy. No limit to the number of tires you can get for $10 with the purchase of a one-year alignment policy and premium installation.
But this sale will not last forever. In fact, this sale ends Sunday. Sunday is the last day of NTB's $10 tire offer.
The most incredible tire sale ever. NTB's select Yokohama, Cooper, and Pirelli $10 tire offer ends Sunday.
See your nearest NTB tire store today. NTB.
Convenience is the name of the game, and this is Doug Deacon. When I bought my car, I went directly to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. The dealership is just minutes away from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and when I get my car serviced, well, they come pick it up and give me a courtesy car. How easy is that? It's also nice to know if my car gets tackled, they offer the most service technicians and a certified collision center, so I can get back on the road in no time. Take it from me, go to Mercedes-Benz of Bedford. Nothing but the best. Check them out online at MercedesBedford.com. Mercedes-Benz of Bedford, a Penske automotive dealership.
TJ doing a great job. TJ Zuppe, our producer, with the rejoins.
Yeah.
I love it. A little Boston here. Nothing wrong with that. As we welcome you back and thank you for spending this portion of your Tuesday with us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hey, Browns fans, single game tickets are still available, but not for long. Purchase yours before it's too late for the upcoming Browns-Ravens divisional matchup. That's on Sunday, December 4th. You know the kickoff for that time has changed. Not 1 p.m., it's a 4:05 kickoff for that game. So note that. And for more information, call 1-800-745-3000 or visit ClevelandBrowns.com today. And this Inside the Numbers segment is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. Tuesday is Inside the Numbers Day here on Cleveland Browns Daily. And joining us now to break down the numbers for us is Matt Flojancic, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's always nice to break down numbers after a win.
It really is. Yeah, we've gone too long of doing this after losing efforts, and those are harder numbers to go through. But these numbers, well, it's going to be a challenge. It paints a picture of what you'd expect. A 6-4 team, a Bengals team that's been playing well. This is a team that the Browns have to deal with, of course, this Sunday at Cincinnati. And once again, we talk about the Browns' struggles in the first quarter. This opponent pretty good in the first quarter.
This is not what you want to see if you're the Browns in terms of production out of an opponent. The Bengals come in. They're a very good first quarter team. They've outscored their opponents 54-31. They get it done. They put the ball in the end zone on the first quarter.
Right.
And that's what you want from a team, you know, at any level. You want to play from in front instead of behind. And I think that's a big reason why they jumped out to the fast start with a rookie quarterback, a rookie playmaking wide receiver, and a running back in Cedric Benson.
Yeah, Andy Dalton, of course, the rookie quarterback who started, made his NFL debut, regular season debut, against the Browns September 11th. And same with A.J. Green as a wide receiver who's been hurt. He was out with a knee injury last week against Baltimore, and you could see things tapering off, I guess, from a passing standpoint, because Dalton had been playing well up to that point.
Yeah, he has. And really, he's played well all year. But without A.J. Green, I think it's a little bit more of a less dynamic offense, if you will. A.J. Green's quite the playmaker. I mean, just a gifted young athlete. And he's going to be causing havoc in the AFC North for years to come. But you look at the partnership that he and Andy Dalton have had, and it's been a pretty productive one for this Bengals team. And that's what you want to see. Five of the six touchdowns from for Green this year came from the hand of Andy Dalton, with the one exception being Bruce Gradkowski's touchdown pass against the Browns in the opener.
And he's been well protected, Matt. I mean, his O-line's been doing a nice job, which always would be the key with any quarterback of almost any caliber. They're better when they're well protected, but particularly with a rookie, to have Andrew Whitworth and others up front for that Bengal team doing the job has made a difference.
Yeah, and the key for those guys to stay is staying healthy. For once, the Bengals have an offensive line that's been less banged up than in years past, and they've only surrendered 14 sacks on the year for 93 lost yards. That is a good statistic. You're talking about a rookie quarterback who's played 10 games and been touched 14 times. I think any coach in the league would take that. And you've seen Dalton's production when he's been able to stand in the pocket. 197-332 for 2,239 yards, 15 touchdowns against 12 interceptions. You keep him healthy, you keep his jersey clean, he puts the ball in the end zone.
Now, from the standpoint of the Bengals running game, averaging 3.8 yards, which is per carry, which is kind of a modest total, but Cedric Benson's still an effective guy in that backfield.
Without a doubt, Cedric Benson has still found a way to be effective. This year, he's run for 634 yards and four touchdowns, including a 39-yarder against the Browns. He's done so on 167 carries. His backup, Bernard Scott, has rushed for 263 yards and a touchdown on 74 carries. They're getting production from Benson all over the place, and Benson's loved running against the Browns. He has 582 career yards against the Browns. Two touchdowns on 132 carries. Most of that came with the Cincinnati Bengals after he started his career with the Chicago Bears.
Matt Florjancic, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. You check out his great work there, helping us break down the numbers, as we always do here Tuesday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The defensive side of the ball for the Bengals, very rough in the secondary, because you think of the loss of Jonathan Joseph to free agency. You think of Leon Hall's loss to an Achilles injury for the season. But overall, they're tied for 11th in the league against the pass, yet they are giving up some, it looks like, a pretty healthy chunk of yardage in the passing game.
Yeah, you're talking about a Bengals defense that may be ranked high, but they're still giving up well over 200 yards of passing offense per game. That is a lot, and that's something that Colt McCoy wants to see, coming off the heels of a 199-yard performance last week in a win. So definitely looks like Colt McCoy will be able to move the football through the air, especially with a secondary that, like you said, is banged up a little bit with the loss of Leon Hall. They've had a little bit of time to adjust to the loss of Jonathan Joseph through free agency, but still, that's probably the weakest point on this Bengals team is their depleted secondary.
Now, how about their special teams? Because, yeah, we saw another kind of bizarre special teams game from the Browns' end, at least bizarre to the extent that there was a field goal that, by all indications, looked like it made it over and successfully went over the upright, but looked like by rule that ball should have been ruled a field goal, and Phil Dawson kind of knew it, complained about it, but it is what it is. There's no points there, and then the Browns make a decision to take points off the board to accept a penalty. So Phil Dawson comes away with no field goals, but we know what he is. When you look at this special teams unit for the Bengals, Mike Nugent, Brandon Tate, the return man, how good are these guys?
Both are outstanding young men. And for Ohio football fans, they've seen Mike Nugent kick for a long time. The former Ohio State Buckeye is having another great year. 18 of 19 on field goals, 7 of 8 from 40 to 49 yards. Here's an interesting stat, though. He has not attempted a kick longer than 49 yards this year. He has not attempted one over 50 yards, and he's made 24 of 25 extra point attempts.
And their punter, Kevin Huber, he's a solid guy, too, averaging 44 per punt.
Yeah, just an outstanding effort for him. He's punted 62 times on the year for 2,731 yards. He's placed 17 inside the 20-yard line. Only three other punters in the league have a better total than that in terms of number of punts that they've placed inside the 20-yard line. Then you look at the return game. Brandon Tate also doubles as a punt returner 37 times, 376 yards, and a 56-yard touchdown. That's a good special teams unit down there in Cincinnati.
That's a special teams unit that could definitely give the Browns a run for their money there, and that's still an area that I think we look at with the Browns as a strong point, obviously, but this one's pretty formidable, and in a game that, you know, if it gets anywhere as close as the earlier one was, now we looked at the final score in that one, and it doesn't really indicate how close it was.
Yeah, the 27-17 was really a misnomer because Benson had that late touchdown run, that 39-yarder that kind of sealed it. But for all intents and purposes, this was a three-point game going midway late into the fourth quarter until that last touchdown. And I think realistically, when you look at it, if we see another tight ball game, it's not out of the realm of possibility to see this thing get decided by a field goal.
Great stuff, as always, Matt. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Vic. Have a good week.
He is Matt Florjancic. He is a staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, breaking down the numbers for us each week here. I'm Cleveland Browns Daily. More coming up. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Hey, Browns fans, Vic Carucci here talking to you about my good friends at Liberty Ford, Ohio's number one Ford dealer group. Liberty has hundreds of vehicles in stock to choose from, like the 2012 Explorer Limited I'm driving right now. Great design, third row seating, navigation, plus all the technology you need right at your fingertips. With guaranteed financing and award-winning customer service, you just can't beat the Liberty Ford experience. Stop by Liberty Ford today to see for yourself or visit LibertyFord.com.
Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game days. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources in the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District. Hey, Browns fans, are you heading down to Cleveland Browns Stadium this season? Discount Drug Mart can help you save at the game. Stop at your local Discount Drug Mart today to save 20% at the concession stands, merchandise stands, or at the team shop with the Cleveland Browns Stadium voucher for just $8. Available at the Courtesy Center. Just another way we save you the runaround. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns.
HGR Industrial Surplus, the largest used industrial surplus showroom in the galaxy, is having a year-end clearance sale. We want to get ready for the new year, so we're featuring the lowest prices in our history. This year-end clearance is unlike anything we've done before. Some items up to 50% off. Consecutive record months in buying and selling means HGR has to make more room. Check us out at HGRINC.com. But for the year-end clearance sale, get to their 12-acre indoor showroom. Open Monday through Saturday, just off the East Shore Way. HGR Industrial Surplus.
Hey gang, the Roadman Kenny Rhoda here for Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge on the Bedford Auto Mile, and boy do they have some great deals for you this month. Imported from Detroit for their big finish event, you can drive the all-new 2011 Chrysler 200. I've driven it. It absolutely rocks. It's nicely equipped with 0% APR for up to 72 months while supplies last. So ask for my man Rick Heller. He told me he has some super low deals to finish the year on that Chrysler 200. I loved it. You know what? It's sweet looking. It rides great, and it has all the new technology you need, and it's affordable. So head on out to Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge at 123 Broadway Avenue on the Bedford Auto Mile and see these deals for yourself. Save on quality cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs at prices you can afford. You'll get a complete car buying experience from the great staff at Ganley Chrysler Jeep and Dodge in Bedford. Call the Ganley team today, 440-232-2121. For more info, tell them the Roadman sent you for their big finish event. See dealer for complete details.
again, we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. And it's time to give you our poll results. The question that we post each day on the official Browns Facebook page. It's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. And the question today was, how would you rate the offensive line's performance against the Jaguars? This was in letter grade, and the options were pretty simple, A, B, C, D, or F. You voted, 70% of you said exactly what I thought, which was B. Gave it a B, 18% said C. Yeah, it was a B effort, and a good one, producing two touchdown drives, something Browns hadn't shown in a while. Greg commented, they were only playing Jacksonville. And each week, we check in with Renee Harvey, the Browns Director of Community Outreach, to see how things are going with the team in the community, a busy time of year for that. And Renee, first of all, the last two home games, Jaguars and Rams before that, we've had gate collections that have, I think, gone extremely well. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, both of them did bring in a lot of money and much-needed funds for two great organizations, the first of which was on the 13th against the Rams, and fans helped us collect and provide enough funds to cover 29,000 meals in the area. And then the second one was just this previous Sunday against the Jaguars, and another great response from our fans to support Salvation Army. So certainly for anyone unable to make it to the games, certainly encouraging everyone to support both organizations. Obviously, as we go out this holiday season, lots of red kettles around the community, so please donate what you can. And then also clevelandfoodbank.org for any financial contributions that anyone could make.
Now, you're calling in today from the Cleveland Food Bank, and you've been part of a Browns organization-wide volunteer project. Tell us more about that.
Sure, we've had a great day here today. We've been out here for a few hours, and as you mentioned, we're out here, our entire organization is out here. We've got a lot of our staff members here. We're also joined by our Browns Women's Organization, who does different community projects every month to support local organizations, and then several of our players are out here. Alex Mack, Jordan Cameron, John Greco, Salma Young, Evan Moore, Stephen Bowles, and quite a few more players out here to show their support and give back during this holiday season.
Great stuff. Okay. Well, thank you so much, and we will catch up with you again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Vic.
All right, and we go back to the mailbag to many of you that have sent in questions to ask Vic via the Browns official Twitter and Facebook accounts. Mike, at his handle is at Tank MCNAMAR A60, McNamara A60. With five of the next six games in the division, do you feel the guys acknowledge that a strong showing will set the tone for the future? I love this question. I think this is a huge, you know, when we look at this part of the schedule, this will be defining in so many ways. It will tell the Browns, obviously, a whole lot about themselves. It conceivably can tell us, you know, if there is, in a very wide-open AFC, if there is anything more to this season than just some little progress being made. This could be, they're going to have a say in either what they do for the postseason or what these other teams do or don't do. So, Jim at Heinz, Jimmy, who do you think will cover A.J. Green if he plays? How does it work in schemes to get Dalton and disrupt the pass? I mean, I think Green, it's Joe Hayden, you know, best on best. And do they work on schemes to get to Dalton? Pressure has forced this guy to make some mistakes. Five picks in the last two. I think there's something there to get onto with blitz scheming. Thank Mike Wilson. We want to thank Ernie Kellerman, Matt Flojancic, Renee Harvey, Kristen Ribelli, Jameer Howerton, Pat McKenna, Dave DiNatale, and TJ Zuppe. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.